been a minute since I've done a solo episode, and I'm excited to do this today. Will I be a little rusty? We'll find out. For those of you that follow me on social media, you probably know what this episode's going to be about because I've talked about it over the last couple days on Instagram and TikTok and other places. Let's dive into this. Thursday of last week, when you're listening to this, Thursday was an interesting day for me. One that I frankly will always remember. It's one of those moments that you kind of remember where you were when that event happened. And every Thursday morning, I start with a call with a business partner. I've got a business partner that has helped get my company Opt off the ground, has been a great consultant advisor in a lot of areas of life and business. And he is as quintessentially British as they come. And, you know, he has an awesome accent. And he was Oxford educated, just represents, you know, the Great Britain and that mentality in so many different ways. And I got on the phone with him on this standing Zoom call that we have at the same time every Thursday. And I can tell he's not in his chipper, normal, cheery mood. It was a little somber. And I asked, hey, is everything okay? What's going on? And he said, well, I just heard from my brother before I got on this call that it looks like my queen has passed. And honestly, it was a moment where I was taken aback. I took this deep breath and was like, whoa, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know. I hadn't seen the news earlier that morning or seen any of these pieces. And I didn't even know that was shortly on the horizon. And he then told me, he said, it feels today like I'm losing a grandparent. He said, I'm in my 50s, and I've known no one other than the Queen. She's always been the symbol of stability, of safety, of security, and just what my country represents. And it's really weird to have the thought that she is now gone. I feel like I've lost a grandparent. I then started to ask him some questions. I was really intrigued by this conversation because I got a glimpse at the British monarchy in a way that I had never seen before. And what I thought was so fascinating is that he used the word my queen. He didn't say the queen. It felt personal to him. He never met the queen, but he felt like he had a relationship with her. And losing that was a major loss to him personally. So then I kind of talked about it. I'm like, what did it mean to you? Why do you think the queen is such an important piece? And he said, well, think about it this way. Imagine if the president of the United States once a week got to sit down with a trusted advisor who wasn't biased by any political party and didn't have any chance of losing their seat or getting voted out or any sort of personal gain, anything like that. If they were just there with a treasure trove of experience and a wealth of knowledge and wisdom to be able to help ground and guide your president, the person in charge of leading the country. Like, wouldn't that be a stabilizing factor? And I said, you know, I've never thought about it that way. That's a pretty cool thought to have this person that is very involved, is obviously very invested and cares about the outcome of their country and what's happening. But to be able to do that from a position of not power or authority, but of influence, it's a powerful thing. So since that conversation yesterday, I'm recording this episode on Friday night. TGIF, let's do this. And as I thought through that, I really had a lot of thoughts flood my mind about the monarchy, what it means in today's society. Of course, I tied it to generational theory. And like, to me, the loss of the queen feels like an end of an era. And I think we should recognize it here on this show. And always, you know, I try to get different opinions and backgrounds and perspectives as I do things like this. So I put it out on social media, and I was so happy to see responses that really were on both sides of the aisle, if you were here. I had someone from Indian descent reach out to me and explain how her vision of the monarchy coming from India and her family, like that affected the way she looked at this. And so I'm going to share some of that perspective in this episode today as well, and give you some of my thoughts. And I hope this is enjoyable for you. Again, always unscripted as we go through this. First thing I want to talk about is what I like to call the History Channel Live. I know that seems like an oxymoron, but to me, I think that's what the Queen represents. So I almost did an episode about the Queen and the monarchy last year. Why? Because I got stuck binge watching The Crown on Netflix. If you haven't watched The Crown yet, I recommend you go do it, especially now. I'm sure their ratings are through the roof right now of everyone watching these episodes. It is such a fascinating behind-the-scenes look at the royal family. And I learned so many things in that, you know, series that blew my mind. And it was so crazy to think that it was like this thought of the royal family and the monarchy almost seems archaic today. And to see, like, wait, there's still a major superpower that believes in the divine right of kings, that believes in not separating church and state, that a king or queen's coronation is done by the church. And the fact that the church is even a phrase that is used, right? It just takes us back to a world that most of us only know about through history books. But in Britain, Britain's kind of a little bit like this piece of history that's been kept live. And it also hit me as I was watching, you know, for those of you that know some stats about the Queen, she was the Queen during 18 prime ministers' terms, times that they were in power, and 13 American presidents that she actually met as Queen. Like, that shows you how far back this goes and how connected she is to what we called history. And the most striking example of that is in season one when you watch The Crown. When she is the queen to Winston, queen with Winston Churchill as prime minister, when he came back after the war and was prime minister for the second time. I love Winston Churchill. I've studied him my whole life. It's such a, you know, colorful character in history that just represents this. Keep calm and carry on. Keep pushing. Never stop fighting. Be ready for that moment. And led Great Britain through its darkest hour ever, World War II. And to think that that man that I have always looked at as a historical figure and felt very, very far removed from was sitting there with Queen Elizabeth II, who is still in that chair today as I'm watching this show on Netflix. Now you can see why I call it the History Channel Live. Because it just all of a sudden felt like, whoa, there's this person that's involved in history, but she's also involved in the present. And just a really interesting thought to this, to see her, how she dealt with LBJ and met with JFK all the way through 9/11. You know, and you just go through this and you see this symbol, like my friend said, of stability and security that for so long has been solid and there and unmoved and now is gone. Now, as I talk about Great Britain, you know, I want to tie this into, there's two themes of this show that we always see. We always talk about the middle and we always talk about generational theory. So I'm going to go to those two spots next. Great Britain almost seems for me this perfect example of being in the middle, right? Like, part of them is this old world, divine right of kings, we still have a monarchy, we honor tradition and loyalty and all these things that we look at today as almost antiquated ideas or things of the past, while at the same time having a strong democracy and, you know, voting to put people in power and a modern society that's progressive and pushing things forward. And they've kind of found this way to strike a balance between the old and the new. And from as far as we can tell, like, it's working. It hasn't stopped yet. Like, that's still there. They've figured out a way to have a foot in both worlds. Now, with the Queen, when I talk about her being able to sit down with a prime minister – And in fact, the new prime minister that was just put into office and elected in Great Britain had the chance to meet with the Queen just last week in her first audience with the Queen. And to see her doing that till the end is that she is the Queen wasn't the one necessarily making the decision or going out and enacting the policy. That was the prime minister's job. The prime minister had been chosen by the people to do that. The Queen had to do this, like I said earlier, from a place of influence. And there's a certain sense of stability that comes from the fact that the Queen isn't worried about losing power or getting voted out of office or having to identify with a certain political party and join in on this us versus them mentality. In fact, the royal family has to stay apolitical. And she worked with prime ministers with completely different ways of thinking and ideologies coming from different political parties, but she wasn't representing the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. I know I'm Americanizing that as I'm saying it. She just represented her country and her citizens' best interest and wasn't worried about necessarily even like approval of the people or remaining popular, was more driven by trying to do what's right and what's best for her country and the citizens therein. And then being able to talk to that person in power as a mentor, as a guide. Think about if you were to step into, you know, to be a prime minister and you were able to talk to someone weekly that had talked to 18 prime ministers before you every week and helped them through things and saw challenges and saw tough times and saw times of divisiveness and violence and worked through it. There's a wisdom there that I think we all can really benefit from. And this now takes us to me talking about generational theory here. Now, the second thing I wanted to talk about here is our relationship with the past. And I think the Queen is a good example of how we can do this and how we can try to do it in a healthy way. Our relationship with history can be messy. There's a lot of people that, you know, we talk about erasing history or trying to forget certain things. And I'm not a fan of forgetting or erasing history. I recognize that there's a difference between remembering and learning from the past and celebrating from the past. The more you know your history, the more you know that there are things that should not be celebrated, should be condemned. But the reason we study the Holocaust, for example, is so we don't repeat it. And we watch the slippery slope that got us to that position to where that even became an issue in the first place. But for me, when it comes to the Queen, it gave us this example of how we in our day-to-day lives can still listen and honor the past and old ways of thinking and tradition and values that still mean something to us today, but recognizing that we're the ones that are making the decisions on an individual level. Right. If we're not going to take this about a country anymore, obviously we describe this as a prime minister that has the power and authority to go out and enact things, and then the Queen who has this influence. I think the same could be said for us in our daily lives as individuals. We are influenced by all sorts of people, and especially for younger generations, a lot of those influencers in our lives are older than us. And that's a good thing because they have more life experience, and that life experience has brought them wisdom and learnings and things that they can pass on to us. Now, we might think very differently than those who came before us, or those that, you know, we might feel, oh, they're just so old school. They have this old mentality. There's nothing I can learn from them. Instead, embracing that mentality of a tie to an older world and more learning and saying, I want to try and take everything good from that and then make it better. Because that's our task with history. We want to make the future even better. We hope that each generation builds one on top of another and makes things just a little bit better each time. And that's our job as people. And so to me, I really just drew this symbology of looking at the relationship Britain has had with the Queen and this long-standing tradition of one woman who has had so much experience, looking to that and leaning on it, but building on it and improving and progressing at the same time. And I think when we do that the right way, in our relationships and the people we have around us, there's a mutual respect. And when we decide that maybe we want to take a course of action that's a little different than someone older than us, it doesn't have to be a bloody revolution. It doesn't have to be violent. It can simply be done by saying, you know, no thanks. I know that worked for you and that's awesome. And I understand that times might have been different now. I've thought about what you've done. I've looked at it. I've taken in everything that you've said. And now I'm looking at what I'm facing currently right now. And I'm going to choose to take this path because this is what's important to me or this is what I value. And I think there's this level of maturity that comes from that, that I actually think can play a huge role in bringing together the generational divide. You hear a lot right now about the generational divide, and I think a lot of it comes from one side trying to say that they are better or that they're right. This isn't a matter of better or worse or right or wrong. It can be okay to just say it's different. You know, we think differently, and I respect what you did when you did it, but I'm going to choose to take this course of action now with the information that I have. And I think there's a real chance for progress as we communicate in that way, as we respect each other's values, we listen to where the other's coming from as they're saying things, and then we make decisions from a place of being more informed and having more insight to back that up. Now, the last piece I wanted to talk about here, I always like to bring in different views on this show. And so I put this out on social media knowing that I was going to do this episode over the weekend. And I asked for people's thoughts on the monarchy, the Queen. And I was so pleased to hear that I had comments on all ranges of the spectrum, from people saying that she, to me, was such an example of sacrifice and duty and loyalty to country and living a life that wasn't about yourself and honor. And I had other people say, oh, she reminds me of a grandparent, right? I was watching something that basically talked about what Joe Biden said after he just recently met the Queen as president this time. And he said, I don't think she'd take offense to this, but she reminded me of my mother. She was very gracious. That was so interesting. Like, Joe Biden is old. We know this. He's in his late 70s. And he's looking at the Queen and saying, she reminded me of my mom. Like, it was that type of presence. And so obviously a lot of positive things. And, you know, a lot of you also said, I watched The Crown and you started talking about Princess Diana and wanted to get into all the you know, dirt on it. And I was like, all right, whatever. But I also saw the other side of the spectrum. And I had someone reach out to me specifically whose family is of Indian descent. And she said, I have a very different view of the Queen because I come from a country that was colonized. And it's really, really difficult to celebrate someone who, you know, represented an organization and an institution that subjugated my family. And this isn't something that's really far removed. This isn't ancient history. This is her parents and grandparents. And it's really easy to just think about things from the majority's point of view. And it's so important to listen to voices that might not get the microphone as much and to hear what they're saying and what they're feeling. I want to read a couple of the posts that she shared with me. This one says this. It's a tweet. She said, if you're upset the people from colonized countries whose families were impacted directly by the British monarchy aren't being respectful, maybe just stop and listen for a minute of why people hate them. This wasn't stuff that happened a long time ago. My parents were born under colonial rule. One other. I'm thinking of my father, who grew up in Trinidad, a colony of the British Empire. I'm thinking of how he told me the anger he felt as a child in school being forced to learn about the monarchy and how black and brown children were forced to identify with their oppressors. And I really thought this part was interesting of making people try to identify with others who seemed very, very different from them, obviously. And then this was my favorite. Someone kind of tied this together, and this is a little bit of a middle mentality here, trying to see both sides. And you can tell she's on the fence here. She's in the middle. And she says this: "The queen is dying. The queen dying is sad indeed, but it was anticipated. It's a complicated situation, but because as much as I loved seeing a woman in power from a young age through age 96, I'm also of Indian descent and know the horrific history of our colonization. And it definitely wasn't just us. They had a monumental effect on countries, continents, borders, leadership across the world that to this day is still causing issue. Not to mention the jewels, spices, and anything else you can imagine that were stolen from the countries they colonized. Two worlds of the largest diamonds in the world were worth hundreds of millions are still held in crown jewels. That said, some of my early memories from youth were staying up to watch Princess Diana's funeral, following the monarchy's drama, marriages, births, and the young princess. Something my mother was enthralled with. She used to have commemorative plates and all, sending the people of England and the royal family love and light, hoping the next round of history is better than the past." Well said. That was from Feroza Syed. You can find that post on Facebook. And I really think it's times like these where we can try to find the best in what history has to teach us while not ignoring the worst. And using those lessons to make the future, like she said there, better. So, you know, this episode, I necessarily don't have an opinion on this. The royal monarchy hasn't affected me too much in my life personally. But I do think it's an interesting case study in how we connect to the past, how we can listen and honor our elders while at the same time progressing and becoming more evolved human beings and individuals. I will say in closing this, I truly respect the sacrifice that the Queen has made for the last 70 years. And I know it's hard to look at someone in a position of such power and privilege and, you know, wealth and feel bad for them or feel sorry for them. But what I do know is that her life wasn't like most people's, for better and for worse. She lived a life in the public's eye. She was driven more than anything else by duty and honor and loyalty and trying to defend what she was raised and instilled to believe was more important than anything else, and that she had a special and maybe even divine privilege and responsibility to do that. And the way she did it, and the grace in which she held, and the wisdom that she shared with all of us throughout the world is something that I hope we never forget and we can honor. So I will leave it at that. Thanks for listening. Until next time, clowns to the left me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. We'll see you next time.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I